Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. And good morning to you, Dr. Crenshaw.
Hi there, LaVon. How are you?
I'm great. And I want to, before we get into your book and the contents and all your some good advice here, I want to know a little more about you. Tell us about growing up and how you kind of got to where you are today.
Oh, my. That is a... That's an hour and a half show.
Yeah, I was going to say, no, we don't have time to fill a book with that.
It's been a circuitous journey. I grew up in Wichita and then lived in western Kansas for high school and was in radio for a few years in the 80s and did evening radio shows, and I had a lot of kids calling in, and I realized there were a lot of kids out there who didn't have anyone else to talk to but a DJ, which is not probably the best resource. So I thought I might be better at the advice giving than at the music playing. So I went to KU and have a practice now in Lawrence, and we're all having hopeful feelings about the Final Four for the Jayhawks.
All right. Well, you know, it's kind of nice to know that you grew up in the Midwest, and you're still in the Midwest. So many folks moved to California.
Well, I'm headed there on Friday, but I'm not going
to
stay.
But not to stay. So. All right. Very good. And so, of course, we have lots of listeners who do not have teenagers. Maybe their teenagers are long gone, but they know teenagers in their neighborhood, or perhaps they have grandchildren and so on. And Chris and I were talking, and I said, you know, is it really possible to understand teens?
Well, I think so. One just left my office, and I think I had her figured out finally, but... I think a lot of grandparents are buying the book with the hope of doing just that, trying to get a little better sense two generations up of what kids these days are thinking and doing. And it's easier to read our books, I think, and figure that out than to do what I do, which is visit with them on a daily basis. And I also follow a lot of teenagers on Twitter, which I must say is a pretty useful tool for understanding them. They kind of put it right out there.
Mm-hmm. And your book title, which I did not say at the beginning, is Real Life Advice for Parents of Teens, and you've also done one on Real Life Advice for Teens. Going back to Twitter, what surprises you? Anything?
On Twitter, probably not. Well, I guess the only reason some things don't surprise me is because I hear much of the same thing in private conversations with kids. But I will say the part that probably does surprise me is how much they're now willing to say things on Twitter that I would have considered good discussions for private closed-door therapy sessions.
Mm-hmm.
There are some people I actually follow that I get very worried about. It's hard for me to step back and decide not to be the therapist because I think, oh my gosh, this person is really headed into a bad spot. But Twitter is not designed for therapy, so I just read.
Mm-hmm. And that may be true. Most of those young people, I think, and you know a lot better than I do, are really saying what they think. They're not just making up stories.
Oh, I think it's very real.
Yeah.
I think I think their lives are dramatic enough that they don't have to make up.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that you talk about in your book, and before we get done, I want to talk about that you're not the only author of this book, that you have some teens who actually are a part of the book also. But one of the things that, you know, it just sort of surprised me when I read, don't use the word trust. Don't kind of trust teenagers.
I will tell you a story that is 50 minutes old, and you will get to hear it first, and I can do it without revealing anybody's confidences. I had a kid in here just early this morning with the parent, and the parent said to the kid, well, I feel like I can't trust you. And the teenager says, well, you have to trust me. And I turned to the teenager and I said, do you know any trustworthy teenagers? And she giggled and said, well, no.
Now, here's the real life experience.
Yeah, that's the same discussion I've had over, you know, 20,000 hours of doing therapy over the years. I did have one kid who told me once that she was in fact trustworthy, and then she came back from college to see me and we were talking about that, and she says, oh, I just lied about that. So kids aren't really wired to be trustworthy the way adults think of trustworthy. The thing that kids can do is some kids have better judgment than others. And so that means when your kid is out where she's not supposed to be doing what she's not supposed to be doing, she may exercise better judgment. Maybe she is going to drink more responsibly, or maybe she'll be the designated driver, or maybe when she sneaks out at night, she's being more careful and making sure she's with friends. But none of those things are things as parents we ought to be approving of. It's just that kids are going to do things like that, and we have to provide consequences and not take it so personally. And trust is a little too personal of a concept.
And one of the things that in this little chapter on trust, and your book is divided up so it's easy just to pick it up and read on a particular topic, I thought this explained a lot. You say that the point of adolescence is to make yourself different, that the teens want to be different than their parents, whereas the goal of parents is to make the kids like them.
Yeah, you picked out a very good passage. Kids have to do kid things, and parents have to do parent things, and those things don't typically overlap when it comes to rules and requirements. And we have to realize that kids are going to pull against that by defining themselves in order to define themselves differently. But that doesn't mean parents should give up what they believe is right. There's got to be a tension there. There has to be a built-in conflict. That's how we get kids into adulthood.
And I think in the long run, kids, when they're a little older, really appreciate that and accept it. It's just that not at this stage.
Exactly right. And that is straight up brain chemistry. Kids' brains don't really finish developing until they're 23 or 4. And that's when you get those telephone calls where they suddenly congratulate you on being such a good parent. If you want to have that happen when they're 14 or 15, you're going to be sorely disappointed.
Yeah, you got to be tough. I mean, in a lot of the examples you give here, you know, some parents say that's way too tough. It's tough being a parent.
Sure. And parents, I always say that the one thing you need to know about parenting above all else is the word influence. Parents throw up their hands and think that by the time the kid is 13, they no longer have a lot of input, and that's just not true. The research tells us that kids will turn out more like their parents in the long run than they will their peer group.
Mm-hmm. It could be kind of scary.
Well, that's right. That's a double-edged sword, isn't it?
It is.
We have control over that part of it.
Okay, and of course, in your book, you're talking about real-life advice for parents of teens and to teens themselves. But when does that all start? You know, is 13 the magic age to start doing all these things that you're talking about in here?
No, we always suggest that it's much better to start reading those books when your kid's about 5 or 6, and that'll get you ahead of the curve. Now, of course, some people don't plan that far ahead. So like you said, we've divided the book up so it's easy to find just the kind of thing you need to read about for your latest crisis. But, yeah, we like to see people starting conversations with their kids that build towards healthier relationships when they're adolescents.
So let's talk a little bit about how you put this book together and involve teens. How did all that come together?
Well, the book is based on our weekly newspaper column that has been in print and online since 2004. And over that time, there have been 8 co-authors, each of whom has won a contest to write with me on the column. So they were at the time between 16 and 18 years old. And our current one is 18. She's going to graduate here in a few weeks. And so that the material, 50% of the material in the column and in the books, is written by teenagers themselves. So you really get the best of both worlds, my clinical experience and their real life experience. And that's how we came up with the books. There's about 95 columns in each book from over the last few years on just about every topic that will be relevant to a parent with a teenager.
Yeah, sex, substance abuse, teen tech, friendship, divorce, parent-teen conflict, those are the major headings, and under those you have specific examples. And so it's really interesting to me as you read through these that you and the teen don't always agree.
Yeah, that's why our column is called Double Take Action. And we don't go out of our way. It isn't like that old point counterpoint show on 60 Minutes where we go out of our way to argue about things, but we just naturally have some differences of opinion based on generations and our own experiences. And the irony of it is that with about one exception, among the co-authors, I think I tend to be a little more lenient than they are. I think they're much more orderly and much more structured in what they want teenagers to do. And that's partly because these kids are selected in this contest from a pool of very high-achieving, you know, the kind of high-quality kids from our area schools. So they're probably the most upstanding citizens. So I end up being the voice of the voice of rebellion sometimes.
But that's a good balance then. It doesn't always go one way. It goes back and forth. We need to talk about how people can get one or the other of your books, Real Life Advice for Parents of Teens and Real Life Advice for Teens, and maybe and also how to contact you. So let's kind of summarize with that.
Sure. The books are available on Amazon.com. They are also available on ebooks on Kindle, and I believe that it will be on Nook here later this week. They're just processing it, and it's also available through Barnes & Noble. The easiest way to track all of that down is to go to my website, which is drwest.com, and that's dr-west.com. If you forget the hyphen, you will be led to a website that will teach you all about high-fiber diets. And while I endorse high-fiber diets, that's not me.
Okay, so give it to us again. The website again, address is?
It's drwest.com or dr-west.com.
Okay, very good. And I'm guessing if we just search for Real Life Advice for Parents, it'd probably come up too.
It will pop right up. Yeah. I have good search engine optimization.
All right, great. Well, we want to thank you very much for your time this morning and your expertise and sharing your thoughts with us. And until next time, here is a thought. Parenting is a contact sport. Stay connected.